This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Greetings once again to everybody at TFMR. Hey, it is Tuesday, May the 4th. Just another gold price raid day as price has been smashed lower, not surprisingly, from $1,800 and also back under $27 in silver. But let's put that behind us and let's focus instead on some fiat making opportunity. You know, I like to do these special podcasts from time to time where we talk to CEOs and other experts in the mining industry just to alert you to some things that look interesting, at least to my eye. Back in November, I don't know, you may remember this, you may not. I'll put a link on this page. I talked to a guy by the name of Paul Matysek, who I've known for a number of years. He was once rated as Entrepreneur of the Year, got a couple of awards for that in the mining sector a few years back. And Paul was involved in a company that was in a merger back in late November. He was with Victory Metals, and they merged with a company, a private company called Nevada King. And Nevada King now is the primary name, and that's where you'll find information on this company. And it now has me even more intrigued. One of the people involved in this is Dr. Quentin Henney. Many of you know Dr. Henney for his involvement in great projects and great companies around the world. When I heard he was a part of now Nevada King, I thought, ah, we need to talk about this some more. So here we are. Quentin, thank you for spending some time with me.
Absolutely. Craig, always enjoy it.
It is always fun. And man, anytime I hear you're involved in something, it piques my interest because you've got such a great track record as a geologist and finding areas and recognizing that the geology looks similar to what you've seen in other spots. And now here we've got this company in that's based in Nevada, which is maybe the greatest gold jurisdiction in the world because it's here in the U.S. where you have the rule of law. You don't have to worry about your mine being nationalized. And Nevada is historically one of the greatest gold-producing regions in the world. Nevada King is operating in that kind of mainly in that Battle Mountain area that so many people know about. Let me just leave it there for you, Quentin. Tell us a little bit about what makes this unique and why it is you're involved.
Yeah, look, when I saw the opportunity, when I was given the opportunity, I should say, to work with the company, talked about the business strategy. What's this company going to do? What's the goal of exploring in Nevada? Okay, and if you wind back the clock to when these discussions were started, it was probably right at the beginning of 2020. Gold hadn't had its run like it had in August at that time. You know, so we're still looking at, what, $1,600 gold or something, I think, at that time. And, you know, it wasn't necessarily the bull market. But, you know, I think we're back in a bull here, hopefully. Feel fairly confident. But I could, back at that time when they first started talking with everyone at Nevada King, the premise was there's a bull coming. Let's reinvigorate exploration in Nevada. They asked if I knew of some targets, areas, and stuff to go stake, big think type things, areas that really haven't seen exploration, mainly covered areas that could host big prizes. All right. So what we did is we focused on the Battle Mountain Eureka Trend. Sometimes you hear it's called the Battle Mountain Cortez Trend. It's the same trend. But it is one of the most prolific trends. It's probably it's second to the Carlin Trend, but I think that's simply because it hasn't been as explored as the Carlin Trend. I think over the next few years, as discoveries are made, you'll see the Battle Mountain Cortez Trend perhaps even overtake the Carlin Trend. All right, but this is our stomping ground. This is where we decided to go look. The team was very aggressive about staking. I gave them a long laundry list of land to go acquire, much of it pure speculative, based on a palimpsestic reconstruction I did of the Great Basin of Northern Nevada at one time. Okay, what that means is the Great Basin, which is, as anybody knows, you drive across it, you go over a mountain, through a valley, over a mountain, through a valley, et cetera, et cetera. It is an area that's been literally ripped apart by tectonism. It's been pulled apart over the past 30 million years or so. Okay, so what I did was I basically built a model that kind of shoved it all back together. And I could see how the original gold districts and deposits actually looked prior to extension. And based on that model, I'm telling you, man, I think there's probably 60, 65% of Nevada that is in covered areas, primarily areas that are either covered by gravels or, you know, recent volcanic rocks or something, that are hiding the future mines of the state. So we went out and staked a lot of these areas, explicitly focused on the Battle Mountain Eureka Trend. And I think we will be one of the most aggressive explorers. We're going to take advantage of this bull market, and we're going to make discoveries that will be the next generation of mines in this wonderful gold jurisdiction.
I'm thinking to myself, Quentin, the old line about they asked the guy, why'd you rob a bank? And he said, that's where the money is.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And I'm thinking, yeah. why jack around Nevada? Because that's where the gold is. I mean, isn't it? It's like, by far, hands down, the largest producing gold state.
Gosh, look, when you're talking about a region that's produced something like 200 million ounces already, but also has, you know, say at least 100 million ounces of reserves and resources remaining, you know, it's hard to argue against that. This is one of the most prolific gold fields on earth. When I say I think 60, 65% of the area is unexplored, I'm dead serious, okay? That means there's a heck of a lot more gold to find out there, and I want to do it. That's what I enjoy doing, and I just relish the opportunity here with Nevada King to do so.
And they've got, is this right, 7,000 different claims that have been staked out there?
Yes. The claims, U.S. claims, are load claims for people's edification, are 600 feet by 1,500 feet. And so you have to stake a lot of the little suckers to cover, you know, some serious acres. But they have certainly have perhaps one of the most commanding, if not the biggest, land position on the Battle Mountain Eureka Trend.
Holy cow. So, all right, so how do then you decide it? If you're going to start now, I would assume, what, exploring, maybe doing some drilling, that type of thing to start proving out stuff, where do you even start?
Well, you start by doing some basic work, okay? Now, the projects within the company, there are several, actually, that are advanced, okay? You look at Atlanta, Lewis, Horse Mountain, they all have some historic drilling with good results, and also some other data like geophysics and stuff like this. So we actually have some areas where we can build on known, you know, data sets, and I think we can advance fairly quickly. In fact, the first drill target or drill program for the company will be at Atlanta here shortly. But there's a lot of areas that we stake that are covered and basically need to be built from the ground up. In 90% of the case for those, it's about collecting geophysical data that can guide exploration. And that's where I'm very excited, because the guys at Nevada King have given me, or the technical team, a lot of support. We have a lot of cash, so it's really good. But we also have a lot of support to go out and do some big, we'll call it big scope data collection, to start to define targets in these missing components of the Battle Mountain Trend. Again, 60, 65% of this trend remains unexplored, in my view. And we are going to go collect the data, build up drill targets, and then test them over time.
You mentioned your team. Anybody that's been on my site for a while, and we, you know, I do these podcasts from time to time. Seems like I always end up coming back to the two main things that have always been important, which is jurisdiction and then the team. Again, if it's a jurisdiction that's solid from a rule of law standpoint and has proven to produce in the past, and then the team is kind of the same thing. If they've been successful in the past, you feel like, well, then they know what they're doing. They can duplicate it. Tell me about some of the folks you're working with here.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there's really two teams that are involved in an exploration company. You have the management team, the people who run the company, and then you have the technical team, the guys who do the activities on the ground, the exploration work. All right, so let's pick this apart. So first of all, on the corporate side, on the management side, you know, you have Colin Cotello, obviously very, very successful, up-and-coming guy. I kind of see him as the next Eric Sprott. You know, he's about 30 years old, I believe, and he's very, very sharp in the business world, and he knows how to make things go. Look at Newfound Gold, wild success. But we also have Paul Matysik. Paul's very successful. He's a geology and geochemist by training, but he's very, very business savvy, and he has managed to sell a number of companies for, I believe, over $2 billion. Okay, and this is the kind of guy you want on your side when mm-hmm. you make a discovery, because guess what? You know, you're going to have to work with potential suitors or buyers, and that's the kind of power you need on your team. We've got Craig Roberts. Craig is I worked with Craig way back in, when was it, 2007. I think Craig was one of the, believe it or not, one of the first people I met coming out of a major mining company. I left Newmont early 2007, and I went to work for a junior company. And Craig happened to be with a finance firm in Vancouver who did the first financing for me. So, you know, I've worked, basically known and worked with him for a very, very long time. I will, now kind of dovetail that because we kind of have a bit of overlap here. But, you got Doug Forster as well. Look at Doug. Doug recognized the potential of buying some, we'll call it, stranded assets in Australia. I think it was Alligator Gold Crocodile Gold that he kind of salvaged out of the trash heap and built Newmarket, which then in turn sold to Kirkland. Well, that was a wild success. The technical team. These are the guys out in the field. Look, Cal Heron, a well-seasoned explorer, Nevada hand, lives in the region. He is overseeing, he's our COO, basically in charge of operations. Cal and I have built, geologic staff and company to also do this work. And we have, I think, one of them, a young, vigorous team that's going to go out and do this work.
I think I can kind of see where this is going, but I just see what you think. Already every single major producer is operating in Nevada, right? And not that there's like a peak gold, but I mean, they're already there. They might as well be start looking for other resources to develop. So how do you see this story playing out? Where do you think it goes, Quentin?
Well, look, it is an interesting time in Nevada. If you look over the past couple of years, Newmont and Barrick have teamed up to form the Nevada Gold Mines, a joint venture. All right. So, at one time a few months ago, everybody's like, oh, my goodness, this isn't ideal because you really only have one potential suitor in the house here. Well, that's changing. Okay. Look at First Majestic, for example. They bought Jerry King. Well, Jerry Canyon has a mill. They need to fill that mill. There's a new kid on the block. Okay. Another new kid on the block that I don't think has been recognized yet is Ewan Downey. Look, Ewan at Premier had a number of assets in Nevada that are now being spun off into, I believe they call it I-80 gold or something like this. And again, Ewan's a very sharp guy. Okay. He's out there to build a new mining company. He's very dedicated to Nevada. He basically thinks Nevada is the place to be. So again, you have a new kid on the block, and I think this is a good thing. We need to look forward, not backwards, at the mining industry, and we need to start building some new, mining companies. I'm not saying Newmont or Barrick are old and worn out by any stretch, but I'm just saying it doesn't hurt to have, new vital. Young mining companies in the mix.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, as always, I just bring this to you. Let everybody do your own due diligence. You got to decide if it fits your risk timelines, and all your other parameters. But you can do all your due diligence at the Nevada King website. We'll put that on this page. Ticker symbols, of course, NKG up in Canada, trades in the US, VKMTF. Put those on this page as well. And, man, you certainly got me intrigued, Quentin. I'd be remiss now as we wrap up, though, if I didn't ask you about a couple of your other projects and companies you work with, because once I let people on the site know I was going to be visiting with you today, they say, oh, you got to ask them about Newfound because they just had some drill results today that were really fantastic. What, anything you can share with us there?
You know, it's, uh, it, is an absolute delight to be part of Newfound. I remember seeing the first core photos from Hole 19-1, you know, drilled when it was a private company. I was shown the photos in January of 2020, before the pandemic. I was out in Nevada with Colin Craig and a few other people. And they showed me these photos, and I thought, how on earth did they get photographs of core from Fossilville? And then they said, no, this is something new. And I said, oh, okay, I'm interested. After talking further and then getting a few more pictures and seeing some features that I think are very Fossilville-like, you know, epizonal gold-like, I said, let's go look at this thing. So we literally flew straight up to Newfoundland and got to see the core. I could tell you when I saw it, it was spitting image, you know, Fossilville 2. Now, okay, fast forward. The company's gone public, I think in August last year. Came out of the gate right after gold peaked, and you know it was a bit of a, everybody's kind of kicking the dog, so to speak.
Yeah.
But they launched. They had a lot of cash to make, so they launched an aggressive drill program. At this point, they're up to like 10 drills. Okay, this thing is going nuts. The drill commitment they've made, I think, is over 200,000 meters or something. I can't remember the meters, but they've only completed about 20% of the program. Okay. Now, here's the phenomena I see right now with this story. The results just keep coming. After like 9 weeks in a row, news release after news release of high-grade results, I think there was 1 week maybe that didn't have a news release. There was a gap, but otherwise, it's just been steady. Today, they released one of the most incredible drill holes I've ever seen in my life. It hit 17.7 meters, 124 gram gold. And then a second interval in the same hole, 4.65 meters of 131 grams gold. Wow. I mean, my gosh, you know, that's a, I think, you know, doing a little math in my head here, I'm trying to figure out how many gram meters it is. What is it? It's about 2,800 gram meters or something. I mean, that's insanity, okay? That tells you you're in a big system. You don't see drill holes like that every day. Okay, now people say, well, gosh, it's gonna end. You know, like they just got lucky. Well, when you hit these things every week, you know, one after another, no, that's not luck. Okay, yep. And then the other thing is, you know, people say, oh, it's gonna diminish. The grades are gonna dwindle or something. There's always this kind of negativism or something around a discovery like this. It's just mind-boggling. But the way I look at it, okay, we've done 20% of the drilling we've basically told the market we're going to do. You think the best results are in the first 20%?
Yeah.
No, that's stupid. I mean, that's just boneheaded, okay? The fact of the matter is we got 80% of our meters left to drill. You think this thing might get better? Yeah, there's that possibility. Look at the results today, okay? Enough said.
Yeah. Well, and I was happy to be a part of introducing that to everybody back late summer and fall last year. I own shares like at 250, something like that. So, yeah. So far so good. Hey, one other one that people wanted to ask you about, I should say, that I picked this one up from Crescat Capital out in Denver, and Tavi Costa mentioned Aloro Resources down in Bolivia. Now, about the only thing I know about Bolivia is the drug trade from years ago, and that's where Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid went to in the movie, right? So, but it's a heck of a potential find down there. What can you tell us about that one?
Well, look, the group I advise here in Denver, Crescat, was really the first party to step up and put serious money in the company, and that helped them get their initial drill program funded. And that first drill program was, I think, September of last year is when it started. Okay, when the story was presented to me at first, it was by an investor, a friend of mine who's an investor. He occasionally sends me stuff, and I look, and I thought, oh, my gosh, Bolivia. Ugh. Okay, that was the first thing that I said. But then I looked at the geology, and I thought, whoa, this actually looks pretty good. Plus, they have Osvaldo Arce, who's a very famous Bolivian geologist working for him. And Osvaldo knows these systems really well. So I spoke with Osvaldo. I spoke with Bill Pearson as well, who's also a geologist there, who I've known for years. And the geology, hands down, convinced me these guys are onto something really, really, really big here. Okay, so that I was bought into. Then I talked to friends of mine who operate in Bolivia, and it took about a 2 or 3 week period, but I got comfortable with the overall trajectory of politics in Bolivia. I think the place is improving. I think you're going to see Bolivia become more like Peru, and Peru, unfortunately, might become more like Bolivia. But anyway, I think Bolivia is on the heading in the right direction as far as mining investment opportunity go. There are some big operations there. San Cristobal is one. You got Pan American operating there. You know, there's a lot of companies operating there. So there is comfort to taking it. But the discovery they've made, holy cow. And people think I'm absolutely bananas when I say that this could be one of the biggest, if not the biggest, silver discovery. Silver, I should qualify that. It's really silver, tin, polymetallic. Okay, it could be one of the biggest silver, tin, polymetallic discoveries in a generation. Okay, and I say that just because, you know, I look at the holistic picture. I look at where the grades are distributed across the property. I look at the geologic model that Osvaldo has. And I say, holy cow, these guys appear to have a completely preserved Potosí-type system. Potosí, for people's knowledge, is about 150 or 180 kilometers north of us, and it is an historic mining district that's produced, I think, on the order of 1.5 billion ounces of silver, lots of tin and other metals as well. But it also has something like 1 billion ounces of resources and reserves left. Okay, so it's a massive, massive district. It is the single biggest silver district on Earth. When they presented Iskut to me, I thought, holy mackerel, these guys have a completely preserved Potosí. It's buried somewhat. Okay, so the top part of it, you know, the upper part, upper couple hundred meters, usually low grade. It's the cap rock to the system. But as they drill down, look at the results today. Look at the results from a couple of weeks ago. Look at the results that will come out in the next couple of weeks. Every time they release results, they are in line with what one would like to see from a Potosí-type system. Could this be several hundred million tons or perhaps 1 billion tons of rock? Sure. Could it host 1 billion ounces of silver? I think so. Could it host a considerable, perhaps one of the biggest tin depositories on Earth? Yep, I think so. So yes, there's a lot to love in that company.
Yeah. Hey, and Quentin, one last thing. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Novo. You're pouring bars. You told us that was going to happen last year. You were going to get there, and now you are. Though you took a little hit, a little heat for the money raise as of late, though, as well. Just quickly, what can you add there?
Yeah, look, we are in ramp up phase. People think, it's, you just flip a switch and, you're cranking out a huge cash flow from day one. We are getting close to being cash flow positive. And as we get through ramp up, say over the next 2 months, I think we'll hit that mark. That's where we need to be. Okay. The PEA that was just released kind of gives people a picture of how this thing will unfold. But one of the things we learned about 3 or 4 weeks ago was in the PEA, the recommendations that were finally settled upon by the QPs suggested we be aggressive about pursuing resource upgrade drilling and stuff in advance of mining. Now, this there were other recommendations in there as well. These recommendations we took to heart, and we looked very quickly at the ability to pay for this work out of the cash flow we expect versus the need to get it done very, very quickly. And because, there are some key, like, we're now in production. We can't screw around and wait, 9 months or 12 months or something to get certain questions answered. So we decided to go ahead and raise capital. There was a lot of angst around that. Didn't necessarily want to do it by any stretch. Ideally, would have been better to pay for everything out of cash flow. But the urgency to get some of these things done took precedent. We want to make sure the project is a success. We want to make sure ramp up goes smoothly and we get to that price. I think we'll get there. The team is operating very well at site. They have been since going back in and reconditioning the mill and stuff. We have a great team. We have a great deposit. We need to get a bit of work done to make sure the mine has a long, long life. But I think we'll hit our objectives here very soon.
Awesome. All right, let's back up and recap, because we're just kind of wrapping up with Nevada King. Again, that's a lot going on out there from that first time I heard about this company back, geez, that's 6 months ago, Quentin, for crying out loud. No wonder so much you guys have accomplished so much. It's already been 6 months. But that's it. The largest private claim holder in Nevada, now up to 7,000 claims. You got the great team, the great jurisdiction. Anything else I missed? Anything else we should close with on that one?
You know, think big. We're really exploring some areas that could host, we'll call it company making deposits. Like, you know, that's my view. Okay. We're going along. We're not screwing around drilling, you know, little gold plays that people have kicked around for many, many years. This is a big think company, and we're going to tackle big projects, and we're going to find that next generation of gold mines.
Again, Nevada King. I'll put the website on this page, VKMTF in the U.S., NKG up in Canada. And as always, do your own due diligence. But once you do, you're going to go, wow, this is interesting. Quentin Henny, it's always fun to talk to you, my friend. I would wish you safe travels, but I know you're not going anywhere.
I'm not, no.
We're all kind of stuck.
I'm getting more work done sitting on my butt, quite frankly, than traveling around. So it's not a bad outcome.
Not so bad. And it's almost springtime in Colorado, so things are looking up.
It is. Beautiful weather here.
Yeah. All right, my friend. Thank you so much for your time. And, hey, thank you to everybody for listening. We try to only bring you stuff that really does intrigue me. And, man, this is one. Please, when you have a chance, check out Nevada King. Again, we've been talking with Dr. Quentin Henny. And old friend of the site, always great to visit with him. Again, thanks, Quentin, for your time, and thank you, everybody, for listening.